Amen. And mom's tongues of interpretation, so goes right into the word too. And to humble ourselves. Without humility, if you're not humble, you're not going to... He doesn't show up. What is love? 1 Corinthians 13 says, if I speak in tongues but I have not love, love is obedience. It's obedience. For God so loved the world, what did He do? He gave His only begotten Son. He did something. And who loved, and what did Yahweh want from the very beginning? Love. Mm-hmm. We're in a family. And He finally got His Son. And what did His Son do? That was even in the prophecy in your birthday card. You're going to go, you want to know how much I love you? I gave you my Son. Let me tell you about my Son. He waited to die on the death of the cross until it was time to slay the Passover lamb. What kind of man would do that? He didn't just take care of it, but He waited. And Christ says, nobody can take my life, right? The high priest is supposed to kill these lambs, right? Who's going to kill him? I'll do it, Dad. He was the high priest too when He gave up. And think about it. He was the lamb. He was the high priest. He did everything for His Father. You know, how can I rely on it? Even with Abraham? Abraham, Yahweh is going to do a covenant with him. And what happens? Abraham has to go to sleep and Yahweh does a covenant. And John Shane and I did that because it was going to be a perfect covenant. And Yahweh, with this covenant, with the descendants coming after Abraham, Abraham, we can't have you in it because you'll contaminate it, is what he was kind of teaching. That's why Yahweh walked through. You guys remember that? He split the animals, and two people are supposed to walk through it. But in this case, only Yahweh walked through it. And John Shane, I said, is because this prophecy, it's got to be 100% pure. And that's why Abraham did not walk through there. So it's a neat revelation. What high priest could give the Christ? And that, only He could do it. And He goes, Dad, I did it. It's finished. And He gave that to us. You want to know if Yahweh wants you healed? Are you kidding me? If I didn't withhold that guy, you think that I'm going to withhold healing because it's so expensive? And so it's a good segue going right into the teaching tonight about the Yod and the power. Last week, Dad did a teaching on the Koach. That's Strong's number 3581. Here's the power. And what is expected of Yahweh's creation? To do your job. Do your job. And man was set a little lower than Elohim in this unusual creation. If you even reading Genesis, my wife was reading, going, it's very different from everything else being created. Here comes the Terra, the land, and then He's going to breathe into it, and He's going to do something completely different. It's going to be in His image. And what's set before Him? Death and life. Choose life. Choose life. Choose life. And then... but this power, and it's up to man to choose to live like one of your fathers. Choose your father. You could Adam, the fallen state of Adam, that's natural, or you can choose to live like Yahweh, the creator of the heavens and the earth. That's what's expected of us. It's not the exception. To speak in tongues is baby. It's the smallest thing there is on there. And prophesying is like the smallest thing. Everybody should be doing it. It's the first thing they did in Acts. It's like learning your ABCs. And then the rest of what are we supposed to be doing is going to be, a living sacrifice. Like my son was a living sacrifice. Like all my teachers in the scriptures were living sacrifices, the good ones. And this whole life we get to read was preparatory for the next. And as we get to read about people's lives in here, these extraordinarily lives, what was it? It's the introduction. Because we'll get to see King David in his glory dancing before Yahweh. And it's not going to be around Joabs and people that he can't rely on. He's going to be running things and doing things. And how is he going to be acting? Like a son of Adam? No. How did the son of Elohim act? Like an Elohim. To act like an Elohim is what is expected. For a child to act like its parent, its father, its mother? Well, I'm acting like you. It's expected. Of course you are. You will. That's a purpose of your existence, is to obey me. And this is our calling in our life in the co-op, as we look at people through the scriptures, and what's neat about living as a son of Elohim. And if you are a son of Elohim, what does it make you? Blasphemy. Does the scriptures say it? I'm to live as an Elohim. Okay, that's my father. That's my choice. Choose life or choose death. Each day we have a choice to choose life and choose death. And what we need to do with people is to prepare them to say, there's a war inside you that will never end. Just as King David never finally wrapped up the Philistines. I remember studying David and listening. I mean, he never finally capped them off. Still Philistines at you. Oh man, it must have really irritated him. I want this over with. So are you and I to fight and to kill the flesh. We are to kill the old man. The old man that we have inside us, the genetics, what does it desire? The lust of the flesh. And it will find any kind of justification for you and I to lower the bar, to not act as a son of Elohim. It didn't say daughters, it were called sons. And daughters are sons of Elohim. The children are called sons. And our flesh will find any excuse to lower the bar so we can be comfortable. And that's the war. That's who you kill. There's the enemy. There's the target. And you kill the old man. You strip him off. If not for your sake, you do it because one day you're going to see Jesus Christ, and he's not going to be Jim Caviezel like Passion of the Christ. It's going to be, we're probably going to get images of the real thing. Wouldn't you? Do you think Yahweh's going to say, I'm going to show you something? You want to know what my son, what I went through? Come here. And it could be part of the in the movie Thor Ragnarok, before he gets to meet, I forgot the famous actor's name. He lands on this, they give them this video. Here's where you are. Here's what's expected of you. And Thor's going to be a demigod to go fight for the great gladiator. What is the guy's name from the Fly? He's a really famous guy.
Glasses.
Yeah, so here he is, and he's really funny. But anyways, I believe that we are going to see the Passion of the Christ.
The real one.
Yeah, you're going to see what he did and what I did before he even entered this thing. And I bet you the word is going to be, ah! Was it necessary? Yes. One time we were watching the Passion of Christ with my son. And he goes, do I have to watch it when they put nails to his hands? My first thought is no. Yes, you do. You owe him. And this is nothing compared to what he went through. You owe him. Somebody died for you. You owe him. It's the principal thing. All of us do. It's your job to live for him. Now, ante up. And it's one day at a time. It's one day at a time, and then we have this life. What will we live? What will we do? And just get ready. And my mom and my dad, my wife, you guys are great leaders, because what you do is you get a jump on your old man in the morning. You get up exercising and being disciplined. What does that do? Your flesh doesn't want to do that. You're living like a son of Elohim. But the word, and I'm going to read something, okay? Maestro, you can't answer this. And don't think too hard. Just answer like as if you're in a regular church. O Elohim, judge of the earth. O Elohim, O God, judge of the earth. That'd be Elohim, though. Who do you think that's speaking about?
Well, that would be Yahweh.
Okay. It's about us. It's about judges and all these rest of these things. And you're going to go... And Jesus Christ, Yehoshua, is going to quote the Psalms. Yahweh called you Elohims.
Yeah.
Does man naturally live like an Elohim? No, it's just the opposite. We look at man. Man devolves. It's devolution. And when you look, whenever the Romans pulled out of some of these barbaric countries, what happened to those barbaric countries? They became more and more like animals. Look what happened in Africa. Look what happens when Russia pulled out of Africa. These two African tribes, they destroyed each other. 800,000 people died. I mean, it's even worse than animals. What is this thing? Man devolves.
Yeah.
And it's that war. But we are to choose to live like an Elohim. What does that require? It requires obedience, to be seeking, be asking, be knocking, and to walk out in faith, to believe it. And I believe a lot of times the mighty works and the powers and stuff is more simple than I ever expected. I'm trying to tap into this radio frequency. And I believe what it is that when you are in line with Yahweh and His Word, and you take a step out and He can see your heart, that Yahweh goes, granted, do it. All of a sudden a mighty work happens. Wow, this woman's got this thing. Not necessarily. It could be. Now, there are some people with certain gifts. When we get to read some of this stuff, I think Yahweh just works with what He has. But what is our job? To do the best that you can. And we'll turn to Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. Let's get some. If you got a page number. At 18, at 18, 21. And remember, okay, this will be more for Maestro. What did Moses say to man? What's before them? There's a choice.
Life or death.
Death and life are before you. Choose life. Deuteronomy 28, you have blessings, but you also have cursings. And it's good. Anytime somebody starts saying that, you know what, the blessings, yeah, you need to know about the cursings too. I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
There's a reason why I put it in there. You will reap. Do you want to reap this? No! Mm-hmm. Okay, you know what? Obedience out of fear is better than just disobedience. But as death and life are before us. But somebody read verse 21.
Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and its friends shall eat its fruits.
And in verse 20, of the fruit of a man's mouth shall in his inmost mind be satisfied, with the product of his lips shall it be satisfied. The Hebrew word is yod, Strong's number 3027. And I have a print off of it. You go to the Theological Word Book of the Old Testament. That's going to be 3581. And it's going to explain with this word, this power is like a hand. And I've done teachings on this before. You just read it, and I have if you want to read it. And it says it's like really the hand of the tongue. The power of the tongue is like the hand of the tongue. And how do you, okay, what's in the hand of the tongue? Life or death. Mm-hmm. Okay, somebody's dead. How are we going to wake them up? Your tongue. It's going to be working. And what he'll go on to the Theological Word Book will show is that it explains how not just what they think. If somebody can write their opinions, that's fine. My life is too short for people's opinions. What I need to know is what the author says. How does the author tell us what the yod is? And he says the yod of the tongue is how you take something. Can you imagine somebody's getting ready to take your wife's purse? What would you do? You snatch it back. There's a video recently of a woman in Venice, and somebody stole her purse with her passport in it. She tracked it down with her iPhone. It was a young girl, and what did she do? Did anybody remember what she did to her?
Hit her with her.
She grabbed her by the back of her hair.
Yeah.
Now, if you're a woman, what happens if somebody grabs you by your hair? Pretty helpless.
Yeah.
What is that? That is authority. And with the hand also, what happens with the hand? What is this? It's aggression. And it explains how Yahweh uses this word. What is this? It's not aggression. It's an offering. And how we use our, do we get to use our tongue like that? It also says in James that your tongue is a fire. And a fire can be a wonderful thing. But it can also be like California. So you got to control this thing. Control it. Turn to John chapter. We'll go over what Christ said. John chapter 10, verse 33.
Chapter what?
Chapter 10, verse 33. And so, looking at the word of Yah, it's going to be, I guess what the teaching, what I wanted to share on is the Yod of the sons of Yahweh. Anyway, people should say, what does yod mean? Let me explain what this word is. There is no English equivalent. Yod means yod. And here's this power, this authority. Think about a king with his scepter or the sword and the hands, guns, all. Okay, we kind of understand. This is how you snatch things. But if somebody would read 33 through 34, please.
The Jews answered him, concerning a noble work are we not stoning thee, but concerning profane speech, because thou being a man art making thyself a God. Yahushua answering them, is it not written in your law, I say you are gods?
And so what's neat about that is that the word A, there is no A in Greek or Hebrew. The translators will insert the word A, you being a man, are making thyself God. And to most Christians, they believe that means he's making him, you can't make yourself the creator.
Yeah.
And you keep reading, he goes, what blasphemous thing have I done? They say, you keep saying he's your father, son of God. And he goes, I did. And if your father's a monkey, makes you a monkey. So he keeps saying this, and they go, you're implying you're an Elohim. And that's why you put A in there, being a God, making yourself an Elohim. The best example that we have to help us out with this is demigods of the Avengers. Well, think about Thor. Think about Iron Man, these things. There's a whole other expectation. Now, people don't feel sorry for these people either, do they? Superman, get to work. Right? And so do we. And that's they're great illustrations of teaching us what our job is. I think with this introduction, what I'm trying to hopefully doing is, I used to think, I didn't think this way. You acting like an Elohim in this life is going to determine where you're going to be in the next life. What do you think is going to be expected of you in the next life? To act like your father or not? Mm-hmm. In my mind, I'm just imagining we're just going to go to the new earth and I'm going to get my rewards. And I'm going to live comfortably. I missed it. You're going to be living like an Elohim. And how am I going to be acting there?
Like an Elohim.
Okay. And so and Yahweh explains death and life from the power of the tongue. Here, Yehoshua shows that we are all, or at least the judges, or some kings are called, and then in this case you could say, yeah, it says that we're Elohims too. Would you take that one verse? Most scriptures are going to say we're sons and daughters, and Christ didn't go around and say, I am an Elohim. He said, I'm the son of Elohim. So that's what we should do too, but explain it too. But what is expected of every Christian is to be a Thor. For us to resurrect somebody or do something mighty work, Yahweh's not going, oh, I'm so proud of you. That's me. I'm like, wow, I really did something. And I want to also not emphasize too much the mighty works and the healing. Because my mind, it's just my natural feeling. Somebody raising the dead is the pinnacle. No! Obedience is the pinnacle.
Yeah.
Obedience. Obedience, obedience, obedience is the pinnacle. And if in this, what is obedience? You cannot obey him if you don't know what his love is, what his love letter is. If you don't know the scriptures, don't say you love him. He wrote you the whole book. How many times have you read it? Well, I love you. I'm not going to read the whole thing, though. I just wrote a letter to my mom, and she didn't read the whole thing. I didn't just write it. Yahweh goes, if you love her, give her a prophecy. Okay. So I'm writing a prophecy on there. If she didn't read it, I'd be like, wow. Right? But this is the expectation. Now, here's an example. And so I guess go back to Psalms 82, where Yahweh says, O Elohims. Did we read that yet? It'd be Psalms 82, 6, 7, and 8. Six, seven, and eight. Somebody read that for me.
I say, Elohim, you are, ye sons of the highest are you all, that indeed like the earthborn shall you die, and like one of the princes shall you fall. Arise, O Elohim, judge thou the earth, for thou wilt inherit all the nations.
Didn't that just fit perfectly with what Christ said in John 10? I said, I'm the son. You're a son too. And if you read the introduction of Luke, it goes back to so-and-so begot so-and-so. David was begotten, then here's Obed, and it goes back to Abraham, then it goes back to Adam, who was begot by Yahweh. And we're supposed to act like our father. And it says in verse 8, judge thou the earth. What does that mean?
Judge the earth?
To judge the earth. What did David do? I got to hear this. I think it was Alfred Edersheim, because as soon as when David is in exile from King Saul, he's going to war everywhere. and how I know this is somebody didn't teach you, is Edersheim, who goes, his forefathers did not clean out the inhabitants of Canaan, and he is told to go do your job. So, and any one of those, and any one of those Canaanites could have fell down like Rahab the harlot. I'll be a proselyte, or I'll leave. They didn't. And what did he do? He went to go judge all the earth. Judge the earth. And he, what is King David acting like? A judge.
I love him.
A judge, a ruler. And that is what we are supposed to be doing too. And how are you going to judge the world, judge the earth and the world? Who are you? You're nothing. Or are you? I just got done going to a meeting about AI. And this guy says, he's speaking to a group of financial professionals. Most people probably, I'd say 60. And he looks at them and he goes, if you read 24 hours a day, 365 days a week for your entire life, you will have read 8 billion words. That's how difficult that is. AI reads 9 trillion. Like, I think it's like every 3 months. And what he's trying to explain to people is that it can make your life so much easier. And you don't have to put in your all kinds of different things. You go in, and unlike Google, you can say, I am a divorced mother of 3 kids who don't like vegetables. How can I get vegetables? They'll come back. And what it does, it accesses all writings on the internet. And he goes, do you have any idea how many words these computers are accessing? Mm-hmm. And they can come back and say, it could take 16 minutes. And they'll come back and say, here's some recipes. What is that? It's power. It's incredible. He said, you could say, I'm a financial professional, and I got clients that want to know how the big, beautiful bill is going to affect their taxations and their grandchildren. AI can read this 1,100 pages of, what kind of document is this? It's a legal document. Most people can't read it. And they can come back, and it will boom, 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 boom. Here's how it's going to affect it. And here's all these bullet points. And he goes, when you do it, you can also tell AI, verify it. And it'll put footnotes. And they'll say it's not perfect, but what is that? It's power. We have the mind of Christ. So what kind of power do we have?
Yeah.
And we're speaking in tongues, we're prophesying, laying hands on the sick. And turn to Joshua chapter 10. And Yahweh's expecting you and me to be the judges over His planet. Joshua chapter 10, verse 12. And if somebody would read 12 through 14.
Then spake Yahushua unto Yahweh on the day when Yahweh delivered up the Amorites before the sons of Israel. Yea, he said, in the presence of Israel, thou sun in Gibeon be still, and thou moon in the vale of
Ashkelon.
So the sun was still, and the moon stayed until a nation should be avenged on its foes. Is not that written in the book of the upright? So then the sun stayed in the middle of the heavens and hastened not to go in about a whole day. And there was no day like that before or after when Yahweh hearkened unto the voice of a man, and that Yahweh himself fought for Israel.
And so this is a neat, I asked my wife to pray for me this morning. I go, hey, you want a good teaching? Pray for me. And I don't know what happened, but all of a sudden I started overflowing like I drank too much caffeine. Mm-hmm. And so I'm doing digital notes. And Yahweh was just started kind of downloading information. And maybe it's for one of you guys, maybe it's for another teaching with all this information. But here's what's interesting about Joshua. He stops the sun and the moon. Why? They're in a war.
Mm-hmm.
So why does he have to stop the sun? Anyone?
Time stands still.
Sun's going down, sun's going down, sun's going down. And when you go hunting, you don't want to use your flashlight because you don't want to scare any of the animals. But you learn really quickly, you could break your leg or your neck. You're walking near, you know, in the mountains and stuff like that, so you know how dangerous it is. And you go, he stopped the sun. Why? Because it's dangerous at night.
But,
right? I mean, that's what it looks like.
Let's keep fighting, yeah.
But time out. Wait a minute. Here's another thought. Abraham attacked that night. How can you attack that night? He represents Yahweh. Mm-hmm. Gideon attacked that night. You can't do that, but Yahweh worked through it, and here's these things at night. There are other wars at night. And you go back to, what's up with Joshua? What I believe is that if I am an Elohim, why settle? Stop! I don't want it to go dark. Now think about that. Well, we could let the sun go down and we could attack them at night. Well, why would we do that? Well, because we don't have any control. Really? And I wonder if Yehoshua said, and he goes, I'm going to stop it right now. Well, and time stopped. And specifically says after that, Yahweh was watching. Yahweh had never done that before. And I believe when we speak with words and stuff, and we walk out in faith, if our heart is right, and we are in fellowship with Him, that He can validate you to go sustained. Joshua stopped time. Who can stop time?
Yeah.
An Elohim. Here's Samson and these other guys and go, wow! And what we should be looking like a peculiar person. And like Samson did. And be ready to be like Samson too, because Samson, after he burns down all the Philistines by tying jackals together, how much time did that take? It was like 300 jackals. You couldn't just burn stuff down, but he didn't. He ties these animals together, he goes, burns down all their livelihood. And Israel comes to Samson and says, these guys rule over us, what are you doing? Why didn't they come to him like Gideon? Rule over us, Gideon? They didn't. Samson, you just... Then even after this, who is there when Samson kills these 1,000 Philistines?
Yeah, wait.
All the Jews that just delivered him to them, they're there. It says as the Jews were delivering him to the Philistines, they're delivering him. Who's there? Samson breaks the cords, and he goes and kills the Philistines in front of who?
The Jews.
The Jews that are watching. Or the Israelites. And what do? They didn't get behind them. That should be a good lesson for us. Just because you're an Elohim doesn't mean people are acting as an Elohim. Doesn't mean people are going to get behind you. And so, okay. And just because you're walking as a son of Elohim, don't be presumptuous. You know what presumptuous means?
Thinking.
Yeah, you're thinking too far ahead. I have this and this is how it's going to work. No, don't be presumptuous. Be humble to say by any means necessary. How would you do it? And sometimes he's not going to give you any information. You get gone. Because some of us might be called to be a Jeremiah. How many healings did Jeremiah do? Was he disobedient? Did he not have faith? I don't think so. I think your job is this, and our job is to be the hands and feet, but to be ready to do the mighty things. And you think about that. Jeremiah, who has endurance? Joseph. What was Joseph? Joseph, to have the endurance to become Pharaoh to save everybody? How did he do that? A man can't do that. And somebody who believes they're going to live again is a son of Elohim. I'm a child of my father. He says this is not the end. I can go and I can go fight. And here's Joshua. Here's Daniel. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they're looking going, who can do this? And here's good old Nebuchadnezzar going, hey, they can back it up. Let's see if they can back it up. He said he was really upset. They come back out. He's like, wow, these guys, and that's what we are supposed to be. As we look, one thing that we have in common with all these people in this book, all of Yahweh's heroes, with exception of their mistakes, what are they acting like? Not a son of Adam. So each day we should wake up to say, what is expected of us? It's for us to walk on water, to cast out demons, to speak in tongues, to convince, rebuke, reprove. And some people are waiting for healing ministries. It could be you're called to a ministry of rebuking people, like a prophet. Well, I don't want to do that. It takes more faith then, doesn't it?
Yeah.
We want to do things that are comfortable to us. Matthew chapter 8, verse 23. As we see Joshua as a perfect example, somebody speaking to the sun and the moon, and Yahweh backed it up. And what I believe about that is Yahweh looking at the circumstance, looking at the situation, and we have power when we are in line with Him. Now the body of Christ is a little bit different because we do have that free gift of the Ruach HaKodesh that we can speak in tongues even if we're out of fellowship. So that is a little bit different. But I believe when you start studying about Alexander Dowie, What did, okay, if you, Smith Wigglesworth, what was he really good at? Mighty works, power, right? What was he not good at? Scriptures. He read one translation, just the King James, that's it. It had all kinds of errors in there. He never looked into the Hebrew, never looked into the Greek. And so, now, I'm here, he's here. So let's just get that real straight. Not to belittle him, but to say he never started studying the Scriptures. At least there's no evidence. He got one Bible translation, that was it, and he lived inside that, and Yahweh worked with it, right?
Yeah.
But he also believed that all illnesses was from Satan. Is that the Scriptures?
Yeah.
No? There are some people that are that demons and stuff, but not all of them. Yahweh worked through it. And there was times that Smith Wigglesworth would punch somebody with a... What is that? Mm-hmm. Alexander Dowie slapped somebody's goiter off their face. And they're acting like sons of Elohim. And I believe that with it, that Yahweh, okay, sustained. He could see the people's heart. She really wants us. Everything's working. I believe it could be exceptions to the rules with some of that. Would somebody read verse 23 through 27 of Matthew chapter 8?
And when he entered into a boat, his disciples followed him, and lo, a great squall arose in the sea, so that the boat was being covered by the waves, but he was sleeping. And coming near, they aroused him, saying, Master, save, we perish. And he said unto them, Why are you fearful, little of faith? Then aroused he rebuked the winds and the sea, and it became a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, Whence is this one that both the winds and the sea unto him give ear?
And so, okay, what's the lesson here? Yehoshua kept Yehoshua in his ministry came to bring us back to our real identity as sons of Elohim. Man had fallen so far, and even today still. I mean, if somebody walks on water, I've never seen that. But they're living like sons of Adam. And what does Yehoshua do? He fixes the problem. He didn't go pray for them. You know, a lot of times when somebody's going through a bad day, well, let me pray for you. And that could be good. But we should be thinking, what would an Elohim do? And he just fixes the problem. They're like, wow! And they go, truly, you are the Son of God. He goes, yes, that's true. And what's going to be expected of us in the next life? That. And if we're not exercising, and if you are practicing, and you are exercising raising the dead, it could be dead animals on the sidewalk, it could be dead grass. And here's a dead cockroach I saw today. I could have exercised my authority, and if it didn't work, do you think you'd get credit? Yeah. At least the person's trying. At least they're trying to do it. And because in the next life, our job's going to be, oh no, I've never practiced that. I was my sophomore year in high school. I was a C student. I never took education seriously. My dad's taking us to Kansas City to go Worlds of Fun. I was very excited. And Yahweh must have had him go by KU, the university he went to. He starts showing, here's why I went to college. And all of a sudden, somebody starts talking to me. Aaron, are you seriously considering going to college, university, with your grades? Because you can get C'd by turning your stuff in. I wasn't learning anything. I was just getting C'd, staying out of trouble. And all of a sudden, I was like, I gotta start learning. I better. I mean, I always had the feeling I'm gonna go to university. And you've never taken it serious. The next year, because my father did that, and Yahweh communicated that, I was like, I'm just gonna see if I'm actually smart. And I got a 3.0. I got all B's. Semester after that, I'm gonna see if I could get even better. Next semester, I got 4.0. And I said, that's about it. I'm gonna go back down to 3.5. But the objective is us walking to the sons and daughters of Elohim. One day, he's going to say, time's up. Here's your job. Here's the job you could have had, though. Here's what you could have had. Can you imagine seeing King David walking on water, moving elephants, telling trees to grow over here? King David going, mountain, go over here. Okay, and we're getting to watch him do that. You're like, wow, look at David. And yet, it could have been you too, Aaron. Oh, okay. Oh, that where your heart is, that's where your treasure will be. Yeah, well, we're going to be living like sons of Elohim. And in the book of Revelation, there's going to be mortals there too. And they should be looking at us going, what is this thing? In Genesis, go ahead and turn to Exodus chapter 14, verse 15. And they live as sons of Elohim, this introduction. What was the first thing Yahweh, well, one of the first things he did in Genesis 1:1, he goes in. I got it on here somewhere. But one of the first things that our Father did is he said, light be. What did he do? He spoke light into existence. And I was receiving a prophecy from Troy Mert, and Troy said, he's looking at the stars, and he said, look at all these stars. And here's Earth and these stars, all creation. And Troy goes, he said that with a couple of words. A couple of words. Not a book. Not an owner's manual. You're like, that's our Father. And that's who lives inside of us. When we speak, we walk out in faith. And here he starts, light be. And the first commandment that Yahweh does with his children in Genesis 2:19. Now Yahweh had formed from the ground every living thing of the field and every bird of the heavens. What was the first work man's going to do? Which he had brought unto the man, that's Adam and Eve, that he might see what he should call it. The first things the children of Elohim did is they gave names to all creation. Boom. Releasing authority, power. Release your authority. And now you guys are in Exodus. Mm-hmm. Somebody read 14, verse 15. And then we're going to go to chapter 7.
And Yahweh said unto Moses, what outcry thou wouldst thou make unto me? Speak unto the sons of Israel, and they go forward. So I'll keep reading.
Yeah, and verse 16.
And thou lift high the staff and stretch forth thy hand over the seas and cleave it asunder, that the sons of Israel may enter into the midst of the sea on dry ground.
And so Yahweh tells Moses, why are you praying to me? Do something. Yahweh is raising the bar with Moses. And who did anything like this before Moses? I don't think anybody. I didn't know Noah built this incredible structure. But what was Moses called to do? Chapter 7, verse 1. We'll go there. What was Moses called to do? Chapter 7 of Exodus, verse 1. If somebody would read that.
Then said Yahweh unto Moses, son.
See.
See, I have appointed thee to be God unto Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet.
Elohim. And what was happening with Moshe was he was going to go be an Elohim. And what did he do to Pharaoh? He was an Elohim. He does it hands, does a staff, turns water into blood, and especially the word promise, you start hearing Moses going from this timid man who's learning how to become a new creation. And Moses was learning how to become a new, right? Because did he have power before Yahweh gave him that anointing? No. But now he has real power, not knowledge that he received from Pharaoh when he was raised up by his mom. This was power of an Elohim. Mm-hmm. And then what does he do? He gets in Pharaoh's face and he says this and he says that. And he starts acting like what? And what's neat about that is what, at least according to man's teachings today, what do people say Pharaoh claimed he was? An Elohim. And they still say that with some of these guys. They'll say like Kim Jong-un and some of these guys, they're supposed to be gods. You got it. And here they are. And Yahweh goes, that guy's not an Elohim. Moses, you are the Elohim. And who is watching this? Joshua's watching it. Aharon's watching this. And it was not just, hey, look what Yahweh can do with him. No. This is his idea for all of us. Children, to act like their father. Go judge the earth. Subdue it. Go do it. Go out there. Convince. Rebuke. Reprove. Build up. Exhort. Go do my word. And this is what Christ came to do. And people marveled. And I would too. I'm going to go, who is this guy casting out demons and doing these things? And I guess, remember all of this, death and life from the power of the tongue. Because Moses opens his mouth and what comes out? Power. Joshua opens his mouth and what happens to the son? Power. I saw my son or my brother, and he's got a Labrador, and the dog obeys him, just like that. There's no hesitation whatsoever. But one of the kids tells it, the dog's like, oh man, are you serious? The dog, he will obey him, and then here's a little girl, Ruth, dogs could roll their eyes. She's like, he kind of looks, he's not going to sit. But as soon as Israel, the owner, walks in, the dog immediately. And that's what demons do with us. When we get in line, the demons don't, they're not afraid of us. But when we're in line with Yahweh, I said, sit. Did you hear that, Dad? Whoa! What do the demons, what do they say to Yehoshua? We know who you are. And we know what authority you have. Don't throw us into the abyss. There's a prison down an abyss. And Peter talks about it, Tartarus. That's authority. And when Yehoshua spoke to the Son, Yahweh's like, sustain. Time stopped. Explain that to a physicist.
Yeah.
You can't, right? Joshua did it. And so can you, and so can I. Or do something even better. Yahweh will work through the Ruah with it. Let's see here. And so Moses was appointed to be an Elohim, and I think it's all of our jobs. Not just, what's the point if people don't get in line, if they don't repent? The point is, your Father is watching in heaven. And He'll give you the desires of your heart if you do your will. Your calling, whatever it is, whether it's a housewife, an engineer, a farmer, whatever it is, professional athlete, do it with all your heart. Because He's watching. And then do it like a son of Elohim. And actually embrace every time He asks you to act like something that's not human. For I am your Father, and I know the secrets of your heart. You cannot hide them from me. I speak in the tongues and interpret. Whoa! What was that? The Son of Man can't do that. Prophesying. My children, know that I am in front of you and behind you. And although you cannot see what's in front of you, it is glorious. In front of you, you see black and darkness, but that's where I see faith. Behind you, you can see light and sunshine, but that's where I see death. Follow me forward. You be following me as I call Peter to follow me. What is that? It's a prophecy. What in the world was that? How did you do that? It's a good question. I'm not a human. Well, part of me is. And I'm trying to become what my Father's called me to be, and that's where tongues and interpretation, prophesying, they're just the beginning, but especially giving people a chance to say, who are you? What is this? And why? One of the reasons why I'm so crazy about this is I was a 19-year-old guy that was trying to stay out of bars. I'll go to churches, and I'll sit in the back, and that was my idea for the rest of my life. I won't sin. Until a stranger comes up and he says, can I pray for you at a meeting? And to be honest with you, the only reason why I said yes is because I'm not scared of you. That's my feeling. Because he just read my sister's mail. Aaron, are you scared? I'm not scared. Go ahead. Man, I would pee down my leg. And you know what Yahweh did to me? He made that. Did I need some humility? Yeah. He made snot and tears. And here I'm crying. If I would have had makeup on, there would have been mascara everywhere. As He's speaking to me, I'm melted. Just as Pharaoh melted before Joseph. Just as Nebuchadnezzar melted before Daniel. You don't got a choice sometimes. And what He did is He made me bow. He goes, you're going to be a teacher. And you're going to do this and you're going to do that. I'm going. And all I knew is that the message had been delivered. I've never seen that guy since. But that was a prophecy that Yahweh took somebody. And there's so many times I don't want to give a prophecy because I'm so uncomfortable. And he'll go, Aaron, were you blessed by that guy? I said, yeah, he saved my life. Then how could you ever withhold that from anyone? Are you kidding me? Think about a prostitute that's been delivered from sexually transmitted diseases and healed emotionally from all the things she's been through. And now she's got a family and a wife, and now she sees a prostitute walking down the street and she sticks her nose up. Or maybe she's just uncomfortable. You're always going, man. And you can imagine the angels watching this going, whoa. And we do mess up. And we do just get down and say, okay, Father, help me be like a son of Elohim. And Peter, in Acts 5:15, I'll go ahead and read this. I'll read these other ones, kind of speed things up. in Acts chapter 5:15, so that even into the broad ways where they bringing forth the sick and laying them on small couches and beds, in order that if Peter were coming along, even perchance his shadow might overshadow some of them. What did the people know? They didn't need to understand it. They saw Yahweh. They saw Yahweh and they go, we got to get there. And what's neat about that is if you start manifesting yourself as a son of Elohim through Ruach, utilizing the Ruach that he's given you, it's the AI. This guy just, at the end of this meeting with AI, he goes, I got to tell you guys something. And he goes, it's not Terminator. It's not you against AI, the future. That's what people, oh no, AI is taking over. And he goes, no. It's people using AI against people who don't use AI. This is what people are using now. And if you want to get your, he's talking about, it can help you with portfolios, do research, all kinds of rest of these things. He goes, your life should be a lot easier. And even as he says that, you know, I'm not changing. But believers like that too, with power. I'm not moving, I'm staying right here. But there's freedom. There's freedom with the power. And here's Peter. What did Peter do? Man, who gets out of the boat?
Here.
An Elohim gets out of the boat.
Yeah.
Who speaks up? Peter. And here's this guy that, man, he got his mouth got him in trouble, but look at this guy. And here's, what did Peter do? Cuts Malchus's ear off. Was Peter focused on the resurrection? Absolutely. 12 thrones. I'm in. Let's do this. And in his actions. And you know, with each one of you, you guys have miracles and things that you've done that you've forgotten about, but Yahweh hasn't. And he's writing about it right now. In your life, some of your testimonies, you have no idea that you delivered somebody from this and that, and their ministry did this and explodes. And if you just saw the ministries that you started, you would marvel and go, wow, I wish I could have something like that. You did. You did your job. And at the resurrection, you're going to be reading and go, had Wendy Cunningham not picked up a hitchhiker? And you'll be reading these things. Also, when you get the Apostle Paul, chapter 19, verse 11. Mighty works also, not the ordinary. Yahweh was working through the hands of Paul, so that even the sick were being carried from his body. So even the sick were being carried from his body. Handkerchiefs and aprons and diseases were departing from them, and the wicked spirits were going out. The book of Acts, they call it the book of Acts, it's not called it, man calls it, but it's the transformation.
Yeah.
Christ continuing his ministry as sons of Elohim, but not in him now. Now it's first going to be in his disciples, and then some people on the day of Pentecost, and eventually to be the body of Christ. And in Galatians 5:17 it says, for flesh, the flesh coveth against the spirit, but the spirit against the flesh. For these one unto another are opposed, least whatsoever things ye shall desire. And okay, that's real important, because what does that mean? Is that you have to stoke this fire every day. We think that we can plateau, and it doesn't work that way. I'm learning that with retemorizing verses. I have from Genesis to Revelation. I don't know how many. I had a lot. And I'm going back, and I'm butchering. I'm like, how did I forget it so quickly? And he's like, are you learning your lesson? You have to exercise this stuff. Exercise, exercise it. And when you wake up in the morning, you're putting on the armor of Yahweh as an Elohim. And before you come home, or you talk to your husband or your wife, are you going as an Elohim and them as a son of Adam? I could take it. And here's, okay, and it's just a whole other way of mindset. Now, when we look at John G. Lake, Smith Wigglesworth, I was going back to the Galatians 5:17, your flesh is never going to submit. We have to tell you, if you are not improving with your disciplines, you're devolving.
Yeah.
And we should tell each other, are you devolving? And right now, I say, yeah, with my scriptures, I'm going back. Well, why? Well, I'm working on Spanish for my wife. And so I don't know if that's justifiable, but I'm working on it. But we should say, are you evolving or devolving? And if you don't know the answer, you're devolving. My father did a teaching once. He goes, either you are the ministry to the people around you, or you're a missionary, or they're the missionary converting you. And if you don't know who's being converted, it's you. It's you. You're being converted. And what's the first thing that leaves Christians? What's the first thing that's lost?
Faith.
Power. The first thing is gone. And it's the power. It's gone. And there is no more speaking in tongues. There is no tongues of interpretation, prophesying. And is that the adversary? I'm going to say it's the adversary in us, our flesh. Our flesh hates it. Mm-hmm. It hates it. But the man you feed is the one that's going to win that day. And how do you feed the new man that is inside you? Death and life from the power of the tongue. Because I am in Christ, and Christ is in me. God, I am God inside minded. This was Kenneth Copeland was talking about. Do you believe that God is in me and I am in you, Christ said? Do you really believe the creator of the universe is inside you? I believe it! And by saying it, what happens? You have it. Because faith comes by hearing what?
The word.
The spoken word. The rhema, not by reading, the spoken word. You have to speak it. And what began this whole trip of your new identity, your new genetics in Christ? Romans 10, 9 and 10. How do you get saved? Ask Him into your heart.
Nope.
I can't find it. It says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God awoke Him from among the dead, thou shalt be saved. And later on it says, it is because through the mouth and your heart, it starts explaining, you have to accept this the way a son of Elohim would accept it, with your mouth and your power and your authority. So the spirit and the flesh, you have to be ready for that, because in John 21, what do we see? Peter said, I go fishing.
Yeah.
Was Peter getting drunk? Was he with a harlot? Was he persecuting? No. He's going back to comfort. And Yehoshua goes, Peter, do you love me? In front of everybody. Don't say you love me. Obeying me. Obeying me. Obeying me. That is love. And that's with all of us, with each one of us. He's calling us, going, do you love me? And show it. And what is neat is that Peter says, you know I love you. What happened when Peter said that? When he confessed it? What happens when we confess it? Do you believe you're healed? And I think about with some of these healings too, that even with Alexander Dowie, and even looking at our Lord Yehoshua Mashiach, lots of times he asks him, what do you want from me? Well, I don't know. I'm sick and my daughter's sick. Huh? Well, I thought that maybe you could pray for him. Do you think praying is going to help him? Do you believe that Christ is alive and inside me? And all of a sudden, what happens if they start speaking? Alexander Dowie, what activated his healing ministry is he asked a woman, I believe Dowie told him to do it. The daughter's dying. The doctor says, go sign the time of death. That's why you're called here. The doctor says, I'm leaving. I've done everything but the time of death. You go witness the time of death, write it down. And Dallas said, I refuse to do that. He said he got in a fight with a doctor. Then he goes in and he asks the mom, why did you call me? She goes, because I thought that maybe you could pray for her so she could be healed. Then he went, done. That faith. She opened up her mouth. And we look at Peter is called back. And then here's also, let's see here. The centurion type of faith, say the word only. Mm-hmm. And it's a centurion's faith. Dad pointed out last week, it wasn't just faith for himself, it was faith for somebody else. I've talked about the centurion type of faith. I have never, at least to this point, have had that kind of faith to heal somebody else. Yet. And all of us should say, I should be working on that. If a centurion can do that, I can do it. Because the word says, greater works you shall do, because I ascend to the Father. What have you done? I haven't done anything. Oh, okay, then get started. And then Acts chapter 28 verse 5. Acts chapter 28 verse 5. You have to turn there. And what should people be witnessing with our life? What should they be witnessing with our life? They should be witnessing Him. If somebody read 5, 6. Okay.
He, however, shaking off the brute into the fire, suffered no harm, whereas they were expecting that he might was about to become inflamed or to fall down suddenly dead. But when they had been long expecting and had observed nothing unusual happening on him, they changed their minds and began to say he was a god.
Now that is the benchmark. That is not the exception. We started with Elohim you are. Greater works you shall do because I ascend to my Father. Mm-hmm. And here's the Apostle Paul as he shakes that brood off in the fire. I imagine, what did he do? I bet you he spoke something. Probably rebuked something. Scriptures don't say Paul said anything. He shook it off. Maybe he didn't. But he shook it off, and people should be looking at us and saying, you're an Elohim. Now, they're not saying you're Christ or anything else, but they go, who in the world can make my Father cry like that or do these things? And that's where prophesying is the easiest one, to really knock people's socks off. It says speaking in tongues is a sign to an unbeliever too, so we can speak in language for they understand it or not. So we are to imitate Christ, or the Apostle Paul's Paul imitated Christ as sons and daughters of Elohim. And you do that by what? Using the yod of the tongue, speaking, confessing it. And if you want to know what you believe, just listen to what's coming out of your mouth. Yeah. 2 Corinthians 5, 3:15. I believe, therefore I speak. So Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for tonight. And we thank you for working through me.